This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
He made money on parking and beer and I'm sure merchandise. Can somebody tell, like, what is the average Pirate fan's intelligence? And obviously, secondly, Austin, when you're yelling sell the team to the team on the field, if you're a true Pirates fan, aren't you telling the team on the field they suck? You're not really saying much to nothing. You're saying your team sucks.
Yeah, I wonder what that's like, and I appreciate the call, DJ, for the players on the field because so I was sitting out by the bullpen on Saturday. I was at the game, and the chants went on probably about three or four times. There were instances where it happened, and they were loud. And Noah Hiles tweeted something out, and Noah will join us in about 5 to 10 minutes here, about how the three times that had happened was opening day, the Skeens bobblehead, and the Mac Miller bobblehead. It just so happened to be the three biggest crowds that the Pirates have had all season long, and that's was the loudest the stadium has been.
And probably three groups where it's maybe not the diehard fans, right? It's people going for ulterior motives.
Oh, and I tell you what, there were, like, it was loud enough that the bullpen could definitely hear it. I'm sure O'Neill Cruz and Brian Reynolds could probably hear it out in the field. There were a couple of people that were, like, really upset about it, too, like diehard Pirate fans that were, like, really mad and were going to try to get people to stop and were, like, complaining to the ushers. It is, they are just in such a difficult position right now, Sean. Where,
could you imagine an usher trying to, like, completely silence an entire stadium?
Not a chance. It's just, how would one usher is going to be able to do that, really? But do they expect Guy Junker to go over the PA and say, fans, let's keep it positive here, like at a high school sporting event, no booing and taunting the players? They're like, they're 18 out here. Like,
Rowdy Tellez will come back and make a statement about it.
Oh, wouldn't that be swell? We don't do that here, Sean. We just don't. The 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, and Fan Weather. It's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Mostly sunny today and a high of 81. Jesse James. I got a chance to talk to Jesse James at Celebrity Softball. Sean, really nice man.
About the same size as you?
Jesse James is probably twice the size of me that I'm surprised that Noah Hiles was able to tackle him in a high school football game. And Noah loves talking about that.
That's hard to believe.
Well, we'll have to get Noah's
opinion
on it. That's
why they call him the Noah Constrictor.
We'll have to get the Noah Constrictor's opinion on it. He will join us next. Fan weather, again, mostly sunny, high of 81. But first, here's a message from Bob Pompiani. Coming up is Noah. We will also talk to Nick Faribault at noon. Here's Bob.
Hey everyone, it's Bob Pompiani here in the heart and the heat of summertime, which is why I want to talk to you about West Shore Home. When it is the summer season, when it gets hot, you know what it means? Well, number one, it means you can save the most money on your home improvement project. And number two, you can beat the fall rush and enjoy your new project by Labor Day. There's so many reasons why you should call West Shore Home if you need really any type of home improvement, whether it be a new bath, new windows, new door, full house flooring improvement, it doesn't matter. West Shore Home will help you save big. If you're still in the planning planning phase, don't worry about that either, because West Shore's free, no obligation design consultation makes it easy to get a price that's good for an entire year. You heard that right. Go to westshorehome.com right now and schedule in a matter of seconds. Again, you can save 20% on the entire project. No payments, no interest until 2027, and you can even get more savings by going to westshorehome.com/fan to save an extra $500, but you must go to westshorehome.com/fan. See the website for details, but make it West Shore Home.
Pirates swept by the White Sox, outscored 27-7 in the series. They've lost 11 out of their last 12. Rock bottom 2.0, you might call it, after just a disastrous series on Yinzerpalooza weekend. And we go out to the fan hotline. Presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years, where we find Noah Hiles of the Post-Gazette. Noah, always good to talk to you. What was the vibe on Sunday in particular? I was at the game on Saturday, and it seemed like the fan base is just continuing to grow restless. Is that something that the players are significantly noticing, maybe now more than before, or is it just continuing to wear on them?
I think it's just a continuation of everything. I think it might be a little bit more frustrating for them because, you know, there was some progress. There were some better days under Don Kelly when he first took over. I mean, they had a winning record in June. I think these guys, they're frustrated, man. I mean, no one likes getting their butt kicked, and that's what's happening right now for this team. They can't win. I think you're seeing a lot of frustrated individuals in that clubhouse.
Was there any bit of, like, I don't know, they're all major leaguers, but shock that somebody in the caliber of the White Sox, we'll put it, could come in here and score 27 runs against them?
I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, like you said, they're all major leaguers. I mean, this team swept the Phillies and the Mets. I'm sure they, you know, that's a greater talent gap than the Pirates and White Sox, at least if you're going off of records. So, I don't know. I think it's just they're disappointed in how their year's gone. I don't think anything new was surfaced over this past weekend. I think, like I said, it's just more a continuation of, man, this really continues to happen. This sucks.
How safe do you think Ben Cherington is? There were a lot of rumors and speculation and things thrown out there on social media.
There was one rumor from a stupid Twitter account that is never right about anything, yet people seem to listen to it for some reason. That's the only rumor. So, you know, do I think he still has a job today? Yes, I do. I haven't heard anything to suggest otherwise. As far as, you know, at the end of the year, I don't know. I mean, it's getting harder and harder to justify him sticking around, right? Yeah. I mean, I was the guy who came on here and said in May that I'm not confident that he's going to get fired at the end of the year. But what I've always maintained was the team has to play well. The team has to finish, you know, with a above 500 record under Don Kelly or something close to it. And right now they're not close to it. They're back to playing as bad as they were under Shelton right now. I mean, this is the worst stretch of their season, and it's months after Shelton's been removed. So if that's the logic that I floated out, then it would be fair to deduce that Cherington is in trouble. Now, that's not me reporting that I've heard that he's going to get fired today. I want to make that very clear, so no one go and tweet that. But I'm just saying that, yeah, I mean, how can you justify bringing him back at this point? So I don't know what the future is for Ben Cherington. I do know that it's getting harder and harder to see him being the general manager after, you know, this season continues to get worse every turn.
We all expect the likes of IKF, Andrew Heaney, Caleb Ferguson to be dealt. But do you think if the spiral continues, it could be less of a likelihood that Mitch Keller goes just because, I mean, does the owner need to sign off on a deal like Keller just because of the magnitude of him compared to guys on lower, you know, expiring contracts?
The owner signs off on every deal that's made because he's the one who's paying for it. But I mean, if you're going to trade Mitch Keller, you're going to trade Mitch Keller. I think Mitch Keller is going to get traded. That's everything that I've been told from sources for the last month indicates that being the case. There are teams that are really interested in him, and I think he's the best starting pitcher available. And typically, the best starting pitcher available, especially when they're on a team on pace to lose 100 games, gets moved. I don't think anything changes after you get swept by the White Sox. What did we learn this past weekend that we hadn't learned already? That the Pirates are a bad team this year? I think we already knew that. So I don't think it changes anything. And even if Charrington were to be let go, which, again, I'm not saying is going to happen. I'm not saying I think is going to happen between now and the deadline. But I don't think that any of their trade strategies would change if there was a change in general manager, because they have to stick to that plan. Right now,
yeah.
Mitch Keller's trade stock is the highest it's ever been. He's throwing the ball well. He's number one arm on the market. He has all these years of control. The teams are thirsty for him. And if you're trying to truly make a difference and make this roster better, this is the time to move him. His stock has never been higher, and you have to strike while the iron's hot. And you know, if it's unfortunate to some people that Ben Charrington is the guy who's going to make this move, then that's just the tough reality of the situation. But this is the time to move Mitch Keller if you're ever going to move.
Right, and that's basically the direction that I was leaning towards. Like,
yeah.
How much faith is still in this guy to be able to get a significant return, because his previous moves have not been able to indicate that it's plausible?
No, I agree. But at the same time, I mean, who has he traded? I guess, like, in the earlier days, yes. Like, the Musgrove.
Marte.
But, I mean, Tyone was coming off of an injury. Was that an amazing asset? I mean, Josh Bell was okay. I would say Mitch Keller is the best asset Ben Charrington. If Ben Charrington ends up trading him, this is the best asset that he will have moved. I thought you could argue Marte, but that was literally like his first couple of months on the job. This is a guy that they've kind of developed on their own and made into an all-star. So I think, and this is a time where he's never had an asset with a higher value than this right now, within reason, obviously, like guys who he's actually willing to move. So I'm not sitting here defending him. I don't think his trades have been successful, but at the end of the day, if he's the general manager, then you have to let him do what the general manager does. If you're handcuffing him and not letting him do his job, then he shouldn't be doing the job. And I know that's what a lot of fans want, right? A lot of people want him to be fired, but the reality is he wasn't fired. He hasn't been fired. They chose to keep him in May when they fired Derek Shelton. And by making that choice, you have to let this guy do his job. And if you're going into the, you know, last 2 weeks of the deadline, an opportunity to really change your roster, you have to let him do that because he's still the general manager. Now, if you don't want him to do that, then you should fire him and you should let someone else do it. And if you want to save Mitch Keller for the next guy, save Mitch Keller for the next guy. But if at this point, if there are handcuffs on Ben and he can't trade any assets with multiple years of control, and that's just another indictment on ownership, that they are unwilling to make a strong stance and do something about it. Because if you don't trust this guy to be the general manager and do general manager things, then he shouldn't be your general manager.
Noah Hiles is on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, the Post-Gazette Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Other than Keller, who do you think would be the second big domino? Brian Reynolds, I feel like, Noah, it would just be maybe not best business selling low on Reynolds, comparatively speaking, to previously what he's been able to put out there on the field. Similar to Cruz, is there any smoke around those two guys, realistically?
Whoever said there was smoke around Cruz?
Well, not Cruz, but Reynolds.
Oh, Reynolds, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure teams have reached out for him, but, like, you know, like a very, very common practice for the Pirates, especially under Charrington, is they're not going to get rid of something while it's at an all-time low in value. It's the reason they've held on to a lot of players, right? It's why we've seen them trot out Austin Hedges or Tommy Pham and Rowdy Tellez while they're all slumping, or even guys like Ke'Bryan Hayes, who they've let kind of try to figure out things while he's struggling. If they're gonna move somebody, if they want to move somebody, they want to move them to ensure they get a little value out of it. So trading Reynolds right now, you're trading him when his stock's at an all-time low. It's kind of like the opposite of Mitch Keller. This guy was an all-star last year, but you look at how he's kind of regressed. He's not a very good fielder at all. His hitting is bad. I mean, statistically, he's one of the worst players on the Pirates. I think he is actually, like, has the lowest WAR out of any everyday player. So I don't see them wanting to move him there, unless they're just like absolutely like lost all faith and they're just looking to dump salary and reinvest it in the offseason. I don't think we've reached that point, though. Yeah, so that's my answer on Reynolds.
Trying to acquire a bat at the deadline, whether it is dealing Keller or maybe packaging Santana and Bednar, do you think it's more likely that it would be for a guy in AAA that's just trying to carve their way up, that's like a decent prospect, or somebody that's been in the majors, established for maybe a year and a half, maybe not established, but has shown some flashes, not like Spencer Horwitz, but a similar regard, like better results than Horwitz has, but a similar case in that he's actually played a year in the majors?
I mean, maybe. I think that's the hope, right? I think their hope is to get as many – their hope is to get the best hitters possible. And is it realistic to expect them to acquire an all-star? No. Is it realistic to expect them to acquire a young player who, for one reason or another, hasn't found consistent playing time or is just simply expendable for their team situation? I think that's the case. Like, you look, I mean, some of these teams, there are log jams. Like the Cubs, for example, they have a really good outfield right now, and their top prospects are also outfielders, and some of those guys are big league ready. So what are they going to do? Are you going to wait for them to in the offseason to see if they re-sign Kyle Tucker, or are they going to make a commitment because their GM is in the final year of his contract and say, we need to win now, and he's probably willing to move those guys? Is that the best you can get from Mitch Keller, though? Or can you get someone who's willing to part ways with a productive young bat that has had success in the major leagues for a couple seasons? That might be a little harder to get, but you got to think maybe that team who's willing to part ways with that bat is going to replace them with a rental hitter or something. So it could be like a three-team deal. I don't really know exactly what you could get for Mitch Keller just because there is no answer. The market's always changing, and no one's privy to those conversations, right? It's kind of just all speculation when we're talking trade return packages. But I think the goal is just get the best hitters available. And in the Pirates' eyes, that means someone who's young, someone who is the safest bet to be an everyday player and above average hitter with lots of years of control.
Even if it is like an individual trade, like if it was Chicago, if it was St. Louis, you don't think they'd care about that just because they're getting something back they significantly need?
I mean, look, you're in a position now, if you're in the Pirates, where you have to take the best offer possible. Like you're not in a place where you can shoo away any buyer. If they offer you the best package, then you have to take it. Now, if there's something close, then yeah, sure. Like if it's between, and I'm just throwing random teams out, like say like the Mariners, and they're not, I haven't heard anything about the Mariners being interested in Keller. That's why I'm using them for this example. Let's say it's like between the Mariners and the Cubs. If their trade packages are both what the Pirates are looking for and they're nearly identical, maybe Chicago's a little better, I think maybe in that situation, you go with the American League team, you go outside the division. It might be like a tiebreaker, but I mean, Charrington said it himself.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
They're going to take the best offer available.
All right, Noah, one more for you. Do you think there's any chance that Andrew McCutchen gets traded? I thought at the beginning of the year that this might be it for him. This might be the final season. Now, outside of this month where he's hitting under 200, he's had a pretty good year. Do you think he could be back in 2026? And do you think they might give him a chance to take another run at a ring before coming back?
I mean, I don't think he's going to be traded. I don't know if he's coming back. I think that if he wants to come back, I'm sure the Pirates will welcome him. Just because, I mean, even in his slump, he's still one of their more productive hitters. But I don't know. I don't know what Kutch is thinking right now. I'm sure we'll find out in the next couple of months. I wouldn't be surprised either way. If this is it or if he wants to do one more year, I wouldn't be shocked either way. But... yeah, that's kind of all I have on that front. I don't really know much.
Noah, great stuff. Appreciate your time as always.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Noah Hiles of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Sean, he thinks Keller's gone, that Keller is going to be traded, and basically said, like, look, this is the position that you put yourself in with Ben Cherington. You basically need to cross your fingers and hope that he is able to get a good return because, I mean, you have tied yourself to this man for the rest of the season, considering they've had multiple opportunities to potentially just move on. Like, what's the saying? Cut off your nose to spite your face? Like, are they in a situation like that?
I think the interesting aspect of a decision with a guy like Mitch Keller is you don't have to trade him now, right? Because he's not one of those guys on the expiring deals. So I always go back and forth on this. Is his value higher now at the trade deadline when teams in season are desperate, or is it higher in the offseason? And I think that's a massive question, because if you can get more now because there's a team that thinks that Keller can put them over the top, which I don't know, he's that type of pitcher, he probably isn't.
And he struggled in the second half of the last two seasons, too.
But how many really good pitchers are going to be available at the trade deadline? I mean, the name we've heard all season is Sandy Alcantara, who's not been very good this season.
No, and he was hurt last year, and he's been inconsistent.
It's fair to say Keller might be maybe one of the three best starting pitchers available at this
deadline. Noah thinks he's the number one starting pitcher available.
So that leads me to believe that his value would be higher now than it would be in the offseason, when maybe more teams are in play, but you don't have that desperation of trying to get over the hump now. Well, that to me is a super important question of if you can get more now. And again, you're trading him with 2 months of this season plus whatever remains. So you would think it should be more now. Then you make the move. If you don't get an offer that you think is outstanding and you think he will have higher value, I don't think you need to rush into it. But the fact that you don't know who the GM is going to be potentially in that offseason might mean that it's above Ben Cherington's head. Maybe that has to come from the owner as far as do they want to make the trade now.
And if the owner ultimately decides, you know what, Ben, no, you're not trading Mitch Keller, just because maybe he gets an incredible return. He says, hey, Bob, I think this is a really good return we can get for Keller. If he says, nah, I'm just not going to do it, would rather keep him, that shows that there is just not enough faith in the current general manager, which means that why is he still even in place? I think about it from this perspective, Sean. The Ricard Raquel potential trade deal. I thought that Raquel should have been dealt at the deadline. And it seems like now, like, a deal has not come to fruition with the Penguins. There's still interest. A first-round pick was floated out there. It seemed like there was significant smoke around Ricard Raquel to be traded and that the Penguins would have got a first-round pick back. But it seems like they wanted a little bit more. Now, it's been a lot more quiet. What's going on with Erik Karlsson? Teams are desperate in the heart of the season, in the middle of the year, when they're making a rush for a Stanley Cup, when they're pushing for a pennant, where there's a good chance you're going to get them to overpay compared to when they're Christmas shopping in December. You know, they're looking more so for bargains at the winter meetings and better deals that work on both sides. Now, sometimes you still do get big trades at the winter meetings, but you at times also get a lot of overreactions from teams, just like the Archer trade was. Maybe you'll find a team that maybe doesn't have that lopsided of a deal in terms of the talent that went out, but something similar to it. And I feel like that desperation, you could play off of it.
No doubt. The other aspect of, you mentioned the winter meetings, and the weird thing is there's such a long period of inactivity in baseball during the offseason where it seems like nothing's happening for months and months at a time. But free agency then becomes a factor as well. So maybe teams that want a pitcher that right now can only acquire a guy of Keller's caliber by trade could just sign a guy in the offseason. So that's an interesting aspect, but it could go the other way. Maybe a team is in the market for a big-time free agent pitcher and they realize it's too expensive for their budget and their payroll, and they say, well, maybe we'll get... Because Keller's contract is pretty reasonable way he's pitching. So that's another aspect of our teams maybe more likely to trade for a guy when they see how much the pitching free agency market is, you know, going to cost them. But I ultimately agree. I think right now is probably going to be the best time. The other benefit that comes with this is the Pirates are probably going to trade a minimum of one starting pitcher, but maybe two or three.
Well, he's definitely gone unless literally nobody wants to take him.
And people have mentioned Bailey Falter potentially as an option. What that's going to allow is plenty of major league opportunities for some of the better pitching prospects that are close. And, you know, realistically, you have two or three guys that could come up tomorrow and be your rotation. You're just not trying to force that yet because you don't necessarily need that because the spots are filled.
Well, who are your proven commodities at this point too? Like, you trade Keller, you trade Falter, it's Skeens, and then we haven't seen Bubba Chandler yet, and he's struggled with walks. It's Hunter Barco, who's been good.
But Oviedo seems pretty close.
Jared Jones is out until next July. You know, there's a lot of depth that they have, but if they trade significant pieces, if they trade from the very top of that depth, that's where it gets to be a lot more difficult to be able to decipher how their pitching is going to turn out.
But I like finding out sooner rather than later what you have on some of these guys.
So you might still be able to do that regardless whether, and their pitching staff has stayed, knock on wood, very healthy this year. Other than Jared Jones, Heaney has been healthy, Skeens has been healthy, Keller's been healthy, Falter as well, and Mike Burrows has slotted into the rotation. Listen to the Pop and Joe Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week. From the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry, contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 937thefan.com contesting page, and you can listen to the Pomp and Joe Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's change gears. The Steelers will open training camp, report on Wednesday, first practice on Thursday. What are the five things that we are looking out for at Steelers training camp? The distractions of the TJ Watt contract are gone. All the big trades, we think, and the big moves have been made. Do they need to add another wide receiver? Do they need to add a safety? Are there any other trouble spots that you're keeping an eye on as you go out to Latrobe, to Chucknell Field, and check out Training Camp 2025? 412-928-9370, 937 The Fan, 100.1 FM, and AM 1020 KDKA, as well as WAMO 107.3, are partnering to support Pittsburgh Public School students for the school year by providing stuffed backpacks for the Pittsburgh 4 PPS Backpack Drive, and it's presented by Target Freight Management. You can support by purchasing backpacks or dropping at a location near you, including at Piata, Italian Street Food in Robinson, and Northway Mall. For more details, visit them at 937thefan.com. to drop off your donation. Go to 937thefan.com for more information. Sean has a headline, and we're right back on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Fifty-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. No Bob, no Joe on Pomp and Joe. Austin Bechtold in with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, from behind the glass to the main chair. And Sean Myers is in for me as the Steelers are into training camp beginning on Wednesday. The first official practice open to the public at St. Vincent College will be on Thursday, as football is just about underway. The TJ Watt deal is signed, 3 years, $123 million for Watt, $108 million is guaranteed. It's a $41 million a year contract. Sean, I find it interesting that a lot of Steeler beat writers are saying it's a four-year contract, where it means that he doesn't have as high as his annual is. The total money does not equate to what Myles Garrett got, easy for me to say. But basically, the way that all the national guys are reporting it, and it's probably T.J. Watt's agent telling the national guys, because it's important to T.J. Watt to be, hey, I am paid more than Myles Garrett. We know I'm better than Myles Garrett. I am paid more than Myles Garrett. But a lot of people are indicating, oh, well, it's a four-year deal just to be able to move the money around. Regardless, he's getting $41 million a year in this deal, and it's more than Myles Garrett. And that's what T.J. Watt wants out there.
Yeah, and it makes him the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history, at least for a few more days, presumably. But yeah, it is interesting. And I know when that news broke, I was actually listening. It was Mahler and Donnie that were breaking the news. And they immediately said the Steelers are going to release their version of what this contract is, which is stretching it out an extra year. And I think Watt was going to be making like $21 million this upcoming year.
Yeah, it wasn't much.
So that $21 million added on to the $41 million per year brings the annual value down to, what is it, like 36?
36.
which makes it seem less. But of course, Watt's looking at it like the 3 years that they added additionally that I was not under contract. That's 41 per, which on those 3 years on an annual basis makes me the most high paid player on the defensive side in NFL history.
It's all about the verbiage of it. Like, Jamar Chase had made more money per year than Myles Garrett on his contract by just a little bit of money. So he gets more than Chase. He gets more than Garrett. Micah Parsons is probably going to up him and probably get 42 because he's 4 years younger playing for the Cowboys. And we know Jerry World loves to spend a bunch of money. And he gave Dak Prescott $60 million, where nobody in their right mind thinks that Dak Prescott is a $60 million quarterback.
How do they have that much money, by the way? Because they also gave CeeDee Lamb a massive deal. They're going to be spending so much of their cap towards those three guys when with those three guys, they haven't necessarily succeeded enough.
They're spending it on offense, but are they spending it smartly on offense? You know what? Let's get into this now before I go through the five things I'm looking
just
at.
Just wait till they give George Pickens a $55 million deal after this season.
I wanted to get into this later on, but the Steelers are zigging when the rest of the NFL is zagging with this defensive spending, and this has been something that I've especially tried to harp on in the last year. So last season, they spent $20 million more than the Chicago Bears in total defensive spending, where the Steelers were number one in football, and they'll be number one in defensive spending for a fourth consecutive year. We know where the Bears stand, but also teams like Atlanta, Jacksonville, Tennessee were also in like the top 10 of defensive spending. Philadelphia outside the top 10. Same thing with Buffalo, middle of the pack. Kansas City. Those are all teams that prioritize offense while still are able to draft and develop on defense. The Steelers have the highest paid defense by far, and they're not even a top 10 defense when it comes down to the best of the best teams. Like, think about it this way. Halfway through the season, they were good defensively. This was a good Mike Tomlin defense, did what they expected, but then again, they were playing subpar teams, some young quarterbacks, inexperienced. When they ended up playing the Lamar Jacksons of the world, Joe Burrow a second time around. Joe Burrow the first time around, Cincinnati still scored 30 points on that dominant defense, on this really good, highest paid defense that is being paid to be the best defense in football. And this is kind of in lockstep with one of the main things that I'm keeping an eye on at training camp. Can this be a top five defense? It better be. It's paid to be. TJ Watt's getting the most money of anybody. Cam Hayward got a contract extension a couple years ago. They're paying Alex Highsmith a lot of money. They're paying Jalen Ramsey a ton of money. They extended Deshaun Elliott. There is so much money invested on this defense that is Mike Tomlin's defense. We're going to win with defense. Everybody else is trying to win on offense. The Bears go get Ben Johnson to be their coordinator. Steelers will play them. All these offensive coaches like Andy Reid and, you know, Sean McDermott is kind of the opposite of that, but they still have Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator that was Burrow's offensive coordinator at college at LSU. The league is shifting towards offense, just like the rules are. The best teams that are winning, Kansas City, offensive spending. Sure, New England was different, but that era has been ushered out in the last 5 years. You have to be able to adapt, and you might say, oh, well, Austin, where are they going to spend the money? They're not paying a quarterback. That's a big reason why their offensive spending isn't there. How about you pay a second wide receiver to come in here and be a good weapon with Aaron Rodgers, with DK Metcalf, another wide receiver weapon? Answer those questions. It would be solid of them to be able to spend some money on the offensive line as well, whether that be a Broderick Jones extension, if he's somebody that you can count on, which through the first couple years of his career, yeah, you are trending towards bust territory for Broderick Jones, more so than 10-year starter. So I understand it. Some people say their offense is young. They're not paying a quarterback a lot of money. I get it.
Can I throw a counterpoint to that? Because sure. I've heard, and I think even this morning, Mark Caboli with The Morning Show said this. Well, who are you going to give that money to if not for TJ Watt with this extension? You're not going to be paying quarterback for him at a minimum the next 4 to 5 years. The problem with that is that's the plan, right?
Yes.
But don't you like to keep your options open? Let's say the Steelers have a good but not great year. They are going to move on to their next quarterback because Aaron Rodgers is at the end of the line. That basically forces them to have to draft someone if they've already dedicated so much money to defense, including long-term to Watt. doesn't that force you into taking someone that maybe if you're picking, you know, in the 20s or mid-teens might not be the future guy that you want? Wouldn't you like to have the option of maybe you could trade for a quarterback? I know it's unlikely. Maybe you sign a quarterback that's a bigger name free agent that hits the market over the next couple of years. I think there is a scenario where if they had a lot of money at their disposal that they could use on a quarterback, they wouldn't necessarily have to be forced to committing to drafting a guy and then hoping and praying that that turns out to be their next franchise quarterback. I would just like to keep the options open. I know that's the preferred path.
They still have $20 million in cap space right now to go out and do something, whether that's Tyler Boyd, whether that's an Olave trade that was quickly shut down when that was thrown out there, whether it's a move for like an Amari Cooper. It seems like, I think it was Keenan Allen that said on a podcast or on a stream that said he's just not going to the Steelers. Okay, that's shut down. Gabe Davis, I mean, sure, he might have been a Josh Allen product. Can he be a solid number two in this system? What is the Arthur Smith system? It's another thing that I significantly wonder about as we go into year two.
We heard Jawan Jennings mentioned potentially as a trade target recently.
Yeah, and that kind of got shut down quickly, huh? Out there in San Francisco, they don't want to trade him. John Lynch isn't going to make that same. They're not going to make a whole circus of this with the Steelers again at
a wide
receiver.
That is not at the goal line.
It is not at the goal line, no. But think about their highest paid players that are on defense. The five highest paid players on this team this year are on the defensive side of the ball. TJ Watt, Cam Hayward, Jalen Ramsey, Alex Highsmith, Patrick Queen. And Queen was not mentioned originally in that opening soliloquy. Queen has a cap number of $17.5 million. Highsmith, $18.5 million. Ramsey, $19.5 million. Hayward's at the same number. TJ Watt's only at $23.5 million this year, his cap number. And, you know, a lot of that is put into a signing bonus, though, so that his base salary, same thing with Cam Hayward, their base numbers are down, and Hayward has a big roster bonus. Significant amount of money spent on the defensive side of the ball. Last year, 50% of the money was spent on the defensive side of the ball. Now, you might be saying, well, does that mean 50% was spent on offense? Well, a lot of that was spent on the money that was spent to Cordero or to your punter that you paid $4 million that ended up getting hurt. Chris Boswell is making $4.5 million. So it's more so the offensive side of the ball is right around like 43%, where the defensive side of the ball is right at 50%. And still, I'm not saying that you should completely neglect the defense. But think about it this way, Sean. I was thinking about this weekend. When they significantly invested on offense, and partly because it was Ben had a big cap number, but they had AB, they had a signature wide receiver, they had Le'Veon Bell, they had Martavis Bryant, they bounced around with tight ends, Ladarius Green. They tried to figure out who that guy, Vance McDonald, was ultimately going to be. Those teams, especially in the early 2010s.
Higher paid linemen as well during that time.
DeCastro, Pouncey, Villanueva, Foster, established line. Those teams with much invested on offense, and sure, they developed better on offense, where the defense was the side that struggled. Now it's the offense that is struggling, and they're not able to put it together. Those teams were still winning playoff games in 13, 14, 15, getting to the playoffs and significant threats. Like right now, nobody in the regular season considers the Steelers a threat. When they go to the playoffs, no one considers them a team that's going to win multiple playoff games, let alone one playoff game, let alone be competitive in a playoff game. 73-0 in the first quarter they've been outscored in their last, what, four or five playoff games. So when they were investing on offense and putting a lot of money into the offensive side of the ball, and I'm not saying don't pay TJ Watt. Would I have liked it to have been $37, $38 million? Yeah. And you might be saying, Austin, what's the difference of $4 million? Well, that's $4 million. Chris Boswell gets $4.5 million, who's the best kicker in football right now, especially after the guy in Baltimore was canned. That's extra money that you could use to package for a multitude of guys. $4 million. Could be half the salary. That's half the salary you're paying Jonnu Smith. So it all adds up. It all pieces together. And Omar Khan does manipulate the salary cap, but I do want to see them significantly try to change some things up on the defensive side of the ball. Partly because they're spending all this money on defense, and they're not winning on defense. Tomlin's plan is to shut down Joe Burrow, to shut down Lamar, to shut down Mahomes. Yeah, they played them all this year. They're going to play Josh Allen if they get back to the playoffs probably again. And they can't do it. Here is Jeff in Uniontown. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, Jeff.
I agree with you, but the real reason I'm calling is when are you going to take over the early morning show?
Me?
You.
When would so you want me to be the morning show producer?
No, the early morning show. You run. You are the man.
I appreciate that, Jeff. What else do you want to talk
early
about?
Early morning show. Get rid of Callis.
What else you got, Jeff?
Poor Callis.
Yeah, why are we throwing shade at Callis here, Jeff?
He just keeps repeating himself too much.
Oh.
Seems like a nice enough guy, but he just repeats himself.
He was a little sleepy today, he told me.
He's a good guy. He had a big weekend.
That.
He had a big weekend, Jeff. Harry was a little bit.
I heard he was at wiffle ball.
Harry was busy. Ball. Yeah, he was calling wiffle ball. He was doing this.
High five ball! It's good! It's gone! It's gone! Circle City Wiffle going to the championship!
And they ended up winning the championship. Hopefully Callis didn't blow anybody's eardrums out. But
I do like that call, though.
That was a good call. I give Callis some credit for that. He had a really good call there. He's a good baseball announcer. All right, what else is on your mind, Jeff? What's going on?
I don't think T.J. Watt deserved it. I just think just because Cleveland pays a bunch of money, I don't think that we should, too.
No, and I get what you're saying, and I appreciate the call. I feel like a lot of that is, look, yeah, the Browns were – maybe moronic's not the right word, but they reset a market that didn't need resetting, and it's partly because they just probably wanted to keep their guy, and they panicked, and Myles Garrett put out a huge statement saying, I want out of Cleveland, I want to win. Oh, $40 million? Never mind. I'll take that instead. Winning doesn't matter to me anymore. We saw where Myles Garrett's head really was.
That was a bad look for him, I think.
Well, T.J. Watt has every statistical category other than PFF's rushing stats and pass rush win rate and all these other things that we never paid attention to until a couple of years ago.
By the way, did you see the, I don't know if it was the top 100, I think it might have been a top 100 list that PFF did last week for this upcoming season.
Yeah.
TJ Watt, number 10. Do you know what Myles Garrett was?
Probably like 4.
Number 1.
Number 1?
Yes. Which that's pretty crazy. There's that much of a disparity.
You're talking about players in the NFL, defensive players or pass rushers?
This is their top 100 all players.
Top 100 all players. And Myles Garrett's number one.
I'm almost certain, yeah. The PFF. Ahead of like, because everyone's doing their top 100.
Ahead of Mahomes, ahead of Josh Allen, ahead of Lamar.
That's right.
That is outrageous. I also saw Sports Illustrated. They put out their NFL all-quarter century team. Myles Garrett was the first team pass rusher. TJ Watt was it first, second, or third team. Even though T.J. Watt has more sacks, tackle for loss, forced fumbles, quarterback hits, interceptions in his career.
Do you want to play a game, Austin?
I would love to play a game.
Joe loves these types of things. So this is the top 50, by the way, that PFF did. Okay. I already said Myles Garrett, number 1. T.J. Watt, number 10. Can you name the other players who are ahead of T.J. Watt?
Okay, I'm going to say that there's about 4 quarterbacks on that list. I'm going to say Allen.
He is number 5.
Mahomes.
He is number 2, which is actually surprising to me that they had him that high because they're more analytical.
I'm going to say they have Micah Parsons higher than TJ Watt.
That is correct. He is okay. Number 7.
So Parsons is 7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.